Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. We have some new economic data, also some major movement in a couple of U.S. Senate races around the country. Scott, great having you here.
Thanks for having me back, Loman.
Inflation has been coming down, although cumulative inflation is still there. We haven't had deflation at all. The latest inflation data is out. What did those numbers show us, Scott?
It's not as bad as it was a couple years ago when inflation was up around 9%, but the Fed Reserve has a target of holding inflation at 2% or less. And unfortunately, we learned this week that the Consumer Price Index, which is really the way that they measure the cost of goods and services across the economy, that increased 0.2% for the month of September, and that increases the annual inflation rate at 2.4%. So it's not nearly as bad as it could be, but the whole point is, with the data that came out this week, annual inflation is still increasing, seasonally adjusted 2.2% for the month, that beating some of these expectations. And I think what the Biden economy has kind of learned over the past year is that they've taken steps to sort of minimize the impact on increased food and energy prices. We've all seen the price of gasoline, for example, sort of hover around $3 a gallon. And, you know, those food prices that increased by 20% over the past 4 years aren't going down, but they're not going up like they were 2 years ago. When you look at the rest of the economy, that's an area that's sort of flipped on the axis. The Bureau of Labor Statistics website has a bunch of different data that's out there. And you can see this point where, when you take out the food and energy prices, really in March of 2023, that's when the cost of other goods and services in the economy began to exceed food and energy comparatively. We need to make sure that, you know, when it comes to the cost of new vehicles and lumber and things that also are big drivers of the American dream, that those things can be maintained and hopefully they'll drop in prices. One of the big problems, obviously, with the fundamentals that the Biden economy is based on is higher taxes, higher regulation. Until you have a Republican administration, somebody like Donald Trump, coming in, slashing regulations, extending the tax cuts, you're going to basically see these poor fundamentals of the economy remain, and really that'll stifle growth, that'll keep inflation higher than it should be for the target.
Pivoting now to political races, of course, we have one-third of the United States Senate up for election this year. Democrats right now, between Democrats and independents caucusing with them, have a one-seat majority in the Senate. A couple of states, pivotal key battleground states, Ohio and Wisconsin. Scott, they have Democrat senators, but looks like those races are starting to tighten.
Yeah, that's for sure. All across America, there's a lot of really competitive U.S. Senate races in West Virginia, Montana, Nevada, Arizona, Maryland, I guess you could say is somewhat competitive because we have a former Republican governor running there, Pennsylvania. But there's two states that the public polling has been released recently, and it's showing a Republican surge. The first one is your next door neighbor, Ohio, where Bernie Moreno is doing pretty well against Sherrod Brown right now. What we've seen is a huge investment from Republican leaders and the super PACs, the cryptocurrency community. One thing about Bernie Moreno is he was a car salesman, but he figured out that there was a niche in his marketplace to transfer car titles onto the blockchain. So he started a business and did that, and then he sold it, making a lot of money. So he's got some good connections with the crypto industries, and they've invested about $40 million just in Ohio for his race. That race has already seen about $98 million total invested on behalf of Bernie Moreno's campaign. Something to watch. You know, Sherrod Brown obviously performs better than Kamala Harris will in Ohio. Donald Trump will finish ahead of Bernie Moreno, but can Trump and Moreno finish above Sherrod Brown and Kamala Harris? It's a really important swing state. Then you go to my home state of Wisconsin, where I was born, and there's a long career politician, Tammy Baldwin. She served on the Madison City Council. She's been in the House of Representatives since 1996, serving in the U.S. Senate, I think, since 2012. And she is facing a businessman, entrepreneur, investor named Eric Hovde. And Hovde has sort of made that a fun race. He's tried to throw his Wisconsin credentials on the table, his opponent criticized him for being born in California, but he's lived in Wisconsin most of his life. And he even did the polar plunge at the beginning of that race, challenging her to jump in an ice lake. And I don't think that's something she would ever be interested in doing. But really, Wisconsin is starting to trend in the right direction. And I think that that's a good thing as the polling narrows in the Senate race. That also makes Wisconsin much more competitive for President Trump, and it expands the map. We know that Nevada and Arizona are two of the states that receive a lot of attention. I think people are starting to look at Wisconsin. People are starting to look at Michigan. Obviously, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is, I think you and I both agree, going to be the state that pushes one side over the other when it comes to the Electoral College and the ability to clinch it.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Club for Growth is based out of Washington, D.C. We have over 525,000 members from all over the country, and we are united in the idea of economic freedom, liberty, and opportunity. Check us out at clubforgrowth.org, and you can learn about the candidates that Club for Growth PAC is endorsing in the 2024 election.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you again for being here.
You're welcome.